Nephi was now growing older. His life had been full of adventures and spiritual experiences, but he now was preparing to turn the Nephite kingdom over to the next king and his precious plates over to his younger brother Jacob. Before departing, Nephi wanted to record his last testimony of Jesus Christ. He called his discourse the Doctrine of Christ. This is Between the Lines of the Book of Mormon, and we're your hosts. I'm Jay Harris.
And I'm Andrew Harris.
And we welcome you to this podcast today.
We're studying chapters 31 through 33 today, and Nephi, at the very beginning, lays out exactly what he's going to be sharing with us.
And I'm really excited today because Nephi tells us that he's going to teach us plainly concerning the doctrine of Christ.
He says in verse 2, "Wherefore I shall speak unto you plainly, according to the plainness of my prophesying. For my soul delighteth in plainness. For after this manner doth the Lord God work among the children of men. For the Lord God giveth light unto the understanding. For he speaketh unto men according to their language, unto their understanding." I really love the way he describes that there, because God doesn't speak to us in French or German. He does speak to us in French or German if that's our native language. But he's not going to speak to me in French or German because I don't understand those languages. He says, not only does he speak in our language, but he speaks unto our understanding. Or it says, "For the Lord God giveth light unto the understanding." And so when I think about this, I think about my understanding. For instance, I did really poorly in chemistry, and I tried, but I did not understand chemistry at all. It was just a really hard class for me. So if God's going to communicate to me, he's not going to speak to me in terms and ideas that I don't understand. He's not going to be using chemistry definitions and terms and ideas. He's going to speak to me the way I understand.
And I think we communicate with words generally.
Yeah.
And that we can feel like is such an accurate way to communicate. We say, oh, I'm going to say these right words. And then you say these words and think, I am so clever. I just communicated so well.
Yeah.
Well, it doesn't necessarily follow that the other person understands what you're saying, because things that you may think are clear may be totally misunderstood, so that you end up not communicating nearly as well as you would like to. When God communicates with us, it's not through just words. It's through thoughts and feelings.
Yeah.
So much more accurate than with words.
I also like how it says he'll give light unto the understanding, because what happens for me, there's a real common phrase that we use, which is, if you want to talk to God, pray. And if you want God to talk to you, read your scriptures. And so as I'm reading the scriptures, there's another song that we sing, "Search, Ponder, and Pray." And that's really great words of advice, because as you read your scriptures and you ponder, God can give you that help. He can give you ideas and help you come up with answers by giving light to your understanding. So as you're starting to think about thoughts and you start having these understandings, it's like there's a spotlight that shines down and says, yeah, that's it. And that's true. And you feel it in your heart and it burns and you go, oh, okay, I think I understand what God's trying to teach me here.
In fact, in the 50th section of the Doctrine and Covenants, the Lord explains this to us. He says, talking about those who have been called to preach, "Doth he preach it by the Spirit of truth, or some other way? And if it be some other way, it's not of God. And again, he that receiveth the word of truth, doth he receive it by the Spirit of truth, or some other way? If it is some other way, it is not of God. He that receiveth the word by the Spirit of truth, receiveth it as it is preached by the Spirit of truth. Wherefore he that preacheth and he that receiveth understand one another, and both are edified and rejoice together."
Yeah.
We communicate by thoughts, by the Spirit, so that there can be no misunderstanding.
And then in the next chapter, he says, "Do you not remember that I said unto you, after ye have received the Holy Ghost, ye could speak with the tongue of angels? And now, how could ye speak with the tongue of angels, save it were by the Holy Ghost? Angels speak by the power of the Holy Ghost. Wherefore, they speak the words of Christ."
Isn't that interesting? So angels don't bother to use words. They communicate by the Spirit. They speak by the power of the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
That's really powerful, because then you don't have any confusion. Angels have no confusion when they communicate, either with each other or with us, because they communicate by thought.
And he continues on here. He says, "Wherefore I said unto you, feast upon the words of Christ. For behold, the words of Christ will tell you all things that you should do." If we feast on the words of Christ, if we study his words and we study the scriptures, God will be able to communicate with us and teach us all the things that we need to know so that we can follow him.
And that is exactly what you said to begin with, where if we want to communicate with God, we pray. If we want to get an answer from God, we read the scriptures. In other words, we feast upon the words of Christ.
Yeah.
And then through the Holy Ghost, he's able to communicate with us.
Yeah. This communication system that God has with us is really plain and really clear. And it's a wonderful way of communicating because it's more accurate than what we can even communicate with our own words. For instance, in songs, you can often feel the meaning almost. You know, it impacts us in a way that just words alone can't.
Music so generally does not affect the outside nearly as much as it affects our souls. That goes for both righteous and wonderful uplifting music and music that can tear you down.
Yeah.
It's an amazingly powerful thing because it communicates by spirit.
It's also great that the church gives us so many opportunities to learn how to use this communication system. For instance, serving a mission, I think, is the greatest tool for this. If you go out on a mission and you work hard and you teach people and you talk with strangers, you'll learn to rely on that spirit to help you communicate your message and to guide you in all your work. But also in things like giving a talk in church or giving a lesson, as you do those things, you rely on the Spirit to help you communicate that message with the Spirit. When you give a blessing, you rely on the guidance of the Spirit to help you to know what words you're supposed to say, or even just saying a prayer.
Nephi talked about communication because he was about to convey to us something that was really, really important, the doctrine of Christ.
This doctrine of Christ, as we study it and as we read these scriptures that Nephi gives us, he teaches us what we need to know so that we can learn how to come back to Christ and be in his presence, partake of the fruit of the tree. All of these things, he wants us to be able to experience the fullness of joy and to experience the truth of the atonement.
And Nephi talks about there being a straight and narrow path that led up to the tree. What he didn't explain at that time is that there's not just a path, but at the very start of that path, there's a gate.
Yeah.
People not only have to get on the path, but they have to find that gate. And he explains very clearly what that gate is. He says, "For the gate by which ye should enter is repentance and baptism by water."
He wants us to repent and be baptized. Through repentance and baptism, we can have a remission of our sins.
Talking about repentance and baptism, Nephi did an interesting thing. Before going on with his discourse on the doctrine of Christ, Nephi gave us an explanation of why Christ, who was entirely sinless, would choose to be baptized himself. In 2 Nephi chapter 31, verse 7, he says, "Notwithstanding he being holy, he witnesseth unto the Father that he would be obedient unto him in keeping his commandments." So first of all, Christ wanted to be obedient in everything.
Yeah.
And then second, Christ wanted to set an example for us. In verse 10, Nephi writes, "And he said unto the children of men, follow thou me."
So he was being obedient and he was showing an example. Those are the two reasons.
Yep. Baptism is such a beautiful ordinance because it's so symbolic. It's symbolic of death, burial, and resurrection. It's also symbolic of a cleansing and a washing that cleans away those sins. In Romans chapter 6, verse 4, Paul taught, "Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in a newness of life."
It represents us being willing to give up everything, our whole lives, our whole past lives, and die and come up a new person, a new son or daughter of Jesus Christ.
So the old person dies and is buried.
Yeah.
The new person then comes forth in a resurrection or a newness of birth.
Yeah. And he says, "Repent and be baptized in my name." That's in verse 11. And I think that's what repentance really means, is to change, to have that complete newness of life. And as we come up, we're a new person.
not only is it a rebirth, this, as we understand, is the time we take upon ourselves the name of Jesus Christ. In Mosiah chapter 5, verse 7, he says, "And now, because of the covenant which ye have made, ye shall be called the children of Christ, his sons and his daughters. For behold, this day he hath spiritually begotten you. For ye say that your hearts are changed through faith on his name. Therefore, ye are born of him and have become his sons and his daughters."
Yeah.
We know we're the sons and daughters of our Heavenly Father, but by baptism, we become the sons and daughters of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
As we talk about taking upon ourselves the name of Jesus Christ, can you think of any other examples where you might take upon yourself another person's name?
Well, a really common one is through marriage. When a man and woman get married, usually the woman takes on the man's last name as her own last name, and they have a process where they actually go and legally change the bride's name.
When we're born into this life, we take upon ourselves the name of our parents. And part of our objective is to honor that name so that we do nothing to disrespect the name.
Yeah.
Adoption is another way that you take upon yourself the name of your new parents.
That's a lot like what we experience with Christ. It's like we're adopted by a new parent. Our Heavenly Father is always going to be our Heavenly Father, but Christ becomes another Father for us.
Yes. And in that way, he becomes both the Father and the Son. When Moses received the Ten Commandments, the third commandment said, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain." We generally interpret that as meaning we shouldn't swear or use God's name irreverently. But when you think about taking upon ourselves his name, do we ever do that in vain?
Hopefully we're not doing that, but I think as we take the sacrament each week, it's renewing that baptismal covenant. And so if we're just taking it in vain and we don't really mean it, then it's probably not a very good thing to be doing, right?
Yeah, you're right. The dictionary defines the word vain as without achieving the desired effects or results, futile, unsuccessful, lacking in substance or worth, hollow and fruitless, showing undue pride and preoccupation in your own appearance. After being baptized and taking Christ's name upon ourselves, we should live our lives by Christ's values. We become his children. We become Christians. We can ask ourselves, as baptized members of Christ's church, are we trying to be more successful in listening to spiritual promptings and more fruitful in service, more effectual in following Christ? Are we less preoccupied with the way we appear to the world and more worried about how we represent the Savior?
Yeah, we should be considering what we're doing and thinking, I want to follow Christ and I want to take his name upon me with meaning, you know, not vainly.
Also, I think it's important to understand that baptism is the time that those who are not of the house of Israel become adopted into the house of Israel.
Yeah, and get all those blessings.
That's right.
Nephi says, "And I also have charity for the Gentiles, but behold, for none of these can I hope, except they shall be reconciled unto Christ, and enter into the narrow gate, and walk in the straight path, which leads to life, and continue in the path until the end of the day of probation."
Now, continuing his lesson on the doctrine of Christ, Nephi tells us the next step in this process. He says, "If ye shall follow the Son, witnessing unto the Father that ye are willing to take upon you the name of Christ by baptism, then cometh the baptism of fire and of the Holy Ghost."
Yeah. Joseph Smith said, "You might as well baptize a bag of sand as a man, if not done in view of the remission of sins and getting of the Holy Ghost. Baptism by water is but half a baptism, and is good for nothing without the other half, that is, the baptism of the Holy Ghost."
And in Preach My Gospel, it says, "Baptism by water must be followed by baptism of fire and of the Spirit, or it is incomplete."
Baptism by water is a symbol. It's a symbol of that cleansing and that death and that rebirth. But without the gift of the Holy Ghost and without the baptism of fire, which is the cleansing of the Holy Ghost, it's kind of pointless.
After we're baptized, we have the blessing of receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. which allows us to have the constant companionship of the Holy Ghost in our lives.
That cleansing through the Holy Ghost is really what purifies us.
Now, in summary, Nephi has explained to us that in order to get back into God's presence, we need to go through the following steps.
And this is how we do it. We repent.
We need to witness to God that we are willing to keep His commandments.
We're baptized.
We need to take the name of Jesus Christ upon ourselves and become His children.
And we receive that cleansing through the power of the Holy Ghost. And as we do these things, that's how we partake of the fruit and how we get to that tree.
And then Nephi asks a very profound question. He says, after you've gotten into this straight and narrow path, I would ask you, is all done? And then he answers, behold, I say unto you, nay. And then he tells us what we additionally need to do after that. Ye must press forward with a steadfastness in Christ, having a perfect brightness of hope, and a love of God and of all men. If you shall press forward, feasting upon the words of Christ, and endure to the end, behold, ye shall have eternal life.
So this is the doctrine of Christ, is we want to get to that tree and partake of that fruit. And so it's the most wonderful blessing that can experience in this life. And part of that is, as we come to that tree, as we partake of the fruit, we want to take upon us the name of Jesus Christ and become His children. After he's kind of explained this whole doctrine of Christ to us, he says, and now, my beloved brethren, and also Jew, and all ye ends of the earth, hearken unto these words, and believe in Christ. And if ye shall believe in Christ, ye shall believe in these words, for they are the words of Christ, and He hath given them unto me. And they teach all men that they should do good. And if they are not the words of Christ, judge ye. For Christ will show unto you, with power and with great glory, that they are His words at the last day. And you and I shall stand face to face before His bar, and ye shall know that I have been commanded of Him to write these things, notwithstanding my weakness. He's not only teaching us these powerful doctrines, but He lets us know this isn't just something that I made up. These are the words of Jesus Christ that He gave to me and told me, teach these words to the people. It's powerful words that we're reading. It's powerful doctrines, and it can change our lives. And a lot of the things that we're discussing here today, you actually have laid out in a lot more detail, if anyone is interested, in a book that you've written. It's called Understanding Our Sacrament Covenants by Jay Harris. And I know you probably don't want to boast about this or promote yourself too much, but I want to promote this a little bit just because I've read this book 3 or 4 times now. It is such an amazing book, not just on the sacrament, but on the meaning of this doctrine of Christ and how it changes our lives. If you're interested in finding this book, it's published through Cedar Fort Publishing. And if you go to our Facebook page, we will add a link. Our Facebook page is B of M Podcast.
Thank you so much for listening. We hope we've been able to communicate with you with more than just words. We hope the Spirit will testify that our words are true. Next week is Easter, and along with the Come Follow Me lessons, we're going to focus our attention on the significance of Easter in our lives. Then, the following week, we'll return to the Book of Mormon and study the first 4 chapters of Jacob. Please join us, and as we say, enjoy your reading.